Most homeless people live anonymous lives in a harsh world, but we found some who've achieved an odd kind of celebrity.
Open your eyes. Get the sun out of your eyes. Is that any better?
In a tranquil church courtyard in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Gary Clark positions his camera inches from a man's weathered, stubbly face.
I'm going to take three quick photos.
The lens frames eyes looking straight into the camera, deep crow's feet fanning from them. Pinky wears a baseball cap and grins broadly, revealing a missing front tooth.
Thanks, Pinky. And I'm so glad you know, everything's going.
It's going great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good guy.
Gary Clark doesn't call himself a photographer, but over the past few years, he's been drawn to take pictures of people on the edge, as he puts it. Pinky, whose real name is Bob Shevlin, says when Gary first approached him, he didn't know what to make of this man with a camera.
First, I thought he was nuts. What are you doing going around worried about homeless people for? They don't, well, a lot of them don't worry about themselves.
And what convinced you he wasn't?
Not 100% convinced, I don't think.
Gary Clark's pictures are posted on a website called Photolog. 500,000 members log on from all over the world. People post pictures of just about anything, ocean scenes from Iceland, adorable puppies. One man even takes a photo of his lunch every day. Gary's webpage is called Meshuggah, Yiddish for crazy, and it's one of the most popular. Viewers post dozens of comments for each photo, creating a strangely intimate dialogue. And Gary keeps going back to Pinky and others he's met, updating their pictures and writing biographical bits next to them. It has created an ongoing chronicle of their lives.
Now, he's taken your picture.
Right.
Do you know what he does with the pictures?
He puts it on the website.
What does it mean that someone here in Wilkes-Barre might walk by you and pay you no attention, and yet there are people around the world logging on to check up on you and what's happening with you?
See, I used to be the people. They pretend to pay you no attention. When you see somebody you know is homeless, you have a choice. You either walk over and do something to help that man or woman, or you pretend not to see him. They pretend to pay you no attention. They do pay attention.
On the stone steps leading to the church courtyard, Gary sits surrounded by despondent-looking middle-aged men. In the church basement is a drop-in center where the city's homeless come for free food and company. There's Terry, who's just moved from nearby Scranton. He says the streets there became too dangerous. And John, who lives in a tent and also loves taking pictures. He dreams of getting a grant to hand out cameras so his fellow homeless can catalog their own lives, maybe put out a coffee table book. The men sitting here look at least a decade older than they are.
I've got to do something about this anxiety. It's killing me.
Gary leans against the railing, his camera on his lap, head tilted sympathetically, and he listens.
I get around family, I get like that, you know? And if I lay down a bottle for like 2-3 days, man, I can hardly stand myself. It's like I'm coming unglued.
Sure. Gary nods, asks questions, and now and then writes in a tiny spiral notebook. This is his unexpected talent. He says he's never been able to approach strangers at, say, a dinner party, but for some reason, he's found he has a knack for getting these men to open up. They tell their stories in excruciating detail, as if they're trying to figure out where they made that crucial mistake that led them here. Bobby blames his bad marriage.
3 years down the road, I still can't believe it happened. I thought we'd be together forever.
Gary uses a digital camera, and he shows his photos to Bobby right after he takes them.
You look very strong in those pictures.
Yeah.
It's a very determined face.
I don't know if you took a good look at Bobby's eyes. He's got the most incredible blue eyes.
They haven't been working for me, though. If you know what I mean.
Turn a little bit. Maybe that way.
All right.
Turn your head back. Your head. Oh. Yeah, your eyes. Just not that far. That's good.
As Gary takes pictures, some of the men have been talking about their friend, Paul, who's not here today. When Gary goes into the basement drop-in center, the director pulls him aside.
You know, Paul's still in the hospital. and it's not good. So,
Paul Tagney was diagnosed with lung cancer a few months ago. In Gary Clark's pictures, he's a rugged, good-looking man with a bushy white mustache that droops around his mouth. In one photo, he sits on a rumpled sleeping bag under a bridge. In another, he poses with some smiling homeless buddies, beer cans in hand, as if they're at a tailgate party. When Paul first became sick, Gary posted a photo of him in his hospital gown and included the address of this church center. Director Stephanie Wilowdnik now opens her desk drawer and pulls out a bundle of Get Well cards and letters.
That's a stack.
Here's a card from Brazil, Portland, Oregon.
I think there's from Japan and Australia. England, definitely England.
A lot from Wilkes-Barre. Right here. People who probably never met him.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe have seen him but didn't know that they saw him.
Stephanie has been trying to locate Paul's family.
And we're not having any success right now because he's not from the area.
I found his former wife. He asked me to do that at one point.
Yeah. I just left a message.
And I talked to her, but his brothers are nowhere to be found.
Gary says he'd like to visit Paul again, and Stephanie gives him his room number at the hospital. When he's not taking pictures, Gary Clark is an art professor at Bloomsburg University in central Pennsylvania. He says his interest in the homeless began with a childhood vacation to New York. He was 9 or 10, and his dad took him on a double-decker bus tour through the Bowery. Coming from a small town, Gary says he found the sight of people living on the street alien. When he started returning to New York as an adult, taking his students on class trips, he again was curious.
And I guess it just all sort of came together. I got my courage up one day and went and sat and talked to one of them. And
the first time you approached a homeless person, you had a camera with you?
No. I just stopped and we talked.
About what?
Who are you? How did you get there? Why are you living on the street?
Soon, Gary began taking his camera on these forays, canvassing back alleys and abandoned buildings. Now, several times a month, he takes the bus to New York City or drives an hour to Wilkes-Barre. In some photos, the men and women he finds are obviously drunk or high. Some look sad and angry, others vamp for the camera and laugh. For Gary, those in his photos are no longer just subjects for his art, but companions, even friends, people who stray into his thoughts as he's living his other life of middle-class academia. And this has become a sore point at home. Gary's wife hates what he does.
And so we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it at all. Not one word. People, you know, when I mention this to them, they think that she's worried about my safety out there. It's not that. It's the faces, it's the stories, it's the emotion. It's too raw.
Gary says he once tried to stop taking the photographs for 2 days.
I don't know. Those 2 days were really awful. And I just said, well, I just got to do this. We won't talk about it. And you just can't tell somebody not to make whatever they make or write their music or whatever.
Some have raised ethical questions about what Gary Clark does. Last year, one Photolog member said the pictures make him uncomfortable. He wrote, "I don't think I could do what you do in good conscience. Do you ask them for permission? And even if so," he wrote, "how can they legitimately give it if they're mentally impaired or inebriated?" A slew of photologgers came to Gary's defense, but he says it made him stop and think. He's decided he's not exploiting his subjects. He does ask permission. He makes no money from this. He's not displayed the photos in galleries. And every now and then, Gary says his photography brings about something good. Back at Bloomsburg University, Gary pulls on white gloves, unzips a big rectangular box, and carefully lifts enlarged prints. He finds one of a body laying on the sidewalk, covered with a white sheet, a pale hand sticking out from under it.
One morning, I was walking through a park. It was raining, and there was a man on his knees with his head on a curb. I went over, and he was breathing, but not very well, so I needed some help. So I went to get some help, and when we got back, he was dead. So the police came, and they went through his pockets, and he had no identification. He had 96 cents in his pocket. I couldn't really see his face very well, but I snapped a picture, and then I went a few blocks away, and I showed it around at one of the missions, and somebody recognized him. So we went back, and the police were waiting to pick up the body, and so he did not go to an unmarked grave. He got a name.
Dr. Garova, 3201, Dr. Garova.
At the end of his day in Wilkes-Barre, Gary Clark goes to the hospital to check up on Paul. He finds him with an oxygen tube in his nose, too weak to sit up, but not without the feistiness his friends love him for.
Just where the hell am I, Gary?
You're at General Hospital.
Very general.
Yep.
Gary leans against the window and bends over to hear Paul.
So are they treating you okay here?
Yeah. Give me all the hot dogs I want. The daughter of yours giving you hell again.
Oh, always.
I see.
Yeah.
You bring your camera?
Yeah. Well, you think I should take a picture of you today?
Nah.
Okay.
I ain't got used to my new glasses yet. Well, I'm getting tired of y'all.
I'll come up and see you when you get out of here.
Yeah.
You get some sleep.
As we leave the room, Paul calls Gary back in. He'd forgotten to mention something. He's met an old man in the hospital. He tells Gary, I think you should talk to him. He'd make a good photograph. A week after our visit, Paul Tagney died. The Wilkes-Barre Drop-In Center finally reached two of his brothers to tell them. They logged on to Gary Clark's photo log site and saw Paul's pictures, the first time they'd seen their estranged brother in 22 years. This story was produced by Tracy Wall and recorded by Ted Mebane. To learn more about Gary Clark and see pictures of some of the people in this story, go to our website at npr.org. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.